Tuesday, 12th of March, 2024. Maybe today. So, the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus's command, Paul was brought in. Acts 25:23. In the previous verse, Agrippa said that he would like to hear Paul. Having said that, Festus responded that the king would hear him the next day. With that remembered, it now says, so, the next day. Just as promised, Festus had the meeting prepared accordingly. He was careful to discharge his duties and to do so with a touch of panache. That is evident in the next words. When Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp. It is a word found only here in scripture. Phantasia. It signifies pomp, imagination, outward appearance, etc. It is where we get our word fantasy from. The pulpit commentary notes, quote, it is of frequent use among medical writers for the outward appearance of diseases, end quote. It comes from phantaso, to cause to appear, make visible, etc. That is also only used once in Hebrews 12:21, concerning the sight which Moses saw at Mount Sinai. There was pageantry and showiness given to welcome the king and his wife as they had entered the auditorium. The word translated as auditorium is also used only here. Akroaterion. It indicates the courtroom for hearing cases. As for the display in this hall, one could almost hear musicians playing as they do today with the arrival of distinguished guests. The scene would have been something Cecil B. DeMille could have studied for his next big film. There were probably people bowing and standing by the chairs where the king and his wife would sit, ready to lend them a hand as they were then seated. Along with their arrival also came the commanders and the prominent men of the city. The word translated as commanders is the Greek word kyriarchos, commanders of thousands. The pomp wasn't just adorned on the bodies of the king and queen, rather it was also shown in the many high-level officers who were in attendance. It would be like a state visit filled with admirals and generals. The prominent men of the city probably would have included civil officers and people of high influence such as businessmen, lawyers, etc. Everything was arranged to elicit the sense of great honour being bestowed upon the king and his wife. However, with all of these notable people, the centre of attention was actually not on any of them at all. Rather, it next says, at Festus's command, Paul was brought in. All of these people were gathered because the king had asked for a hearing with a prisoner. It was probably rather unexpected for some of those attending. Whatever they thought they were being called together for, they must have wondered what type of magic trick or interesting performance this prisoner could come up with to impress the visiting dignitary. This verse shows a certain eyewitness nature of the event. It also has to be considered the highest of ironies to flow from Luke's pen. Here we have the flash and pomp of Agrippa and Bernice, Jews clinging to the things of this world, dressed in fine clothes and attended by followers of various sorts, and yet they were bound under the yoke of the devil. On the other hand, there stood Paul, the chained prisoner who had been freed in Christ from the world of sin. While they lived lavishly, he had endured so much, suffering with the sufferings of Christ, to bring a completely different type of life to the world's people. The pomp of these two is reminiscent of Luke 16:15. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Life application. This gathering was certainly an immense chance for Paul to speak the gospel to the people of Caesarea. However, Charles Ellicott makes a most profound connection to this verse and that of Acts 12:20-23. Quote, there is an almost tragic pathos in the thought, which must have been present to the mind of the historian, and perhaps also to that of others, that this display of the pride of state was exhibited in the very city that had witnessed a terrible chastisement of a like display in his father. The vice was inherited, the lesson had not been learned. End quote. His thoughts support the idea of the self-inflicted generational curse. Too often, Christians get misled by the thought of a generational curse being laid upon themselves, as if God is somehow angry at them because of the misdeeds of their ancestors. It is true that such misdeeds transfer from generation to generation. However, this is not something actively being brought upon people by God. Rather, such instances are passed on by parents who were unwilling to change from the sinful ways of their own parents. They then pass on the vices or abuses they learned to their own children, and the cycle continues. Often, only with a clean break from the environment in which a person is found will there be a change in the direction of that person. In other words, in the debate of nature versus nurture concerning how people will succeed or fail, it is nurture that leads to the seemingly incessant generational curse. Once a person is taken out of that environment, either by chance, force, or personal choice, will he then have a possible change in direction? The new life will hopefully bring in new possibilities. The supposed curse is ended, not by God lifting his oppressive hand off that person, but by the person being removed from the oppressive hand of generational nurturing. And of all the changes that can occur within a person's life, the greatest is the change from being property of the devil to a saved believer in Christ. With this change, anything is possible in that new life. No wonder the devil is so intent on focusing his attention on young believers. This is a prime reason why discipleship must come quickly into the lives of those who come to Christ. Lord God, we thank you that in Christ Jesus all things are new. We can have a complete break from the lives we once lived. We can have a new direction from broken families, failed societal norms, and cultural customs that are opposed to right living in Christ. May we look to the Word, determine what is proper in our Christian life, and then conduct our lives according to how you direct us there. To your glory we pray. Amen.
The next day, Agrippa and Bernice appeared. They dressed and acted like very important people.
Agrippa and Bernice, the army leaders and the important men of Caesarea, went into the judgment room.
Excellent, John. Gracie. Then Festus ordered the soldiers to bring Paul in.
And Festus ordered the soldiers to bring Paul in.
Acts 25, verse 23.